Kazakhstan is holding elections today for a brand new one-house legislative assembly after significant constitutional changes. Voters will be electing representatives to the new assembly, and there are new official positions and institutions that have been created under the constitutional reforms. But in the Diplomat magazine this week, managing editor Catherine Putz asked, is this more a case of old wine in a new bottle? Catherine also hosts the Diplomat's Asia Geopolitics podcast, and I'm very pleased to say she joins us on Sunday Extra this morning. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. Now, what is the vote that's actually taking place today in Kazakhstan?
Yes. So today, I guess Sunday, where listeners are, Kazakhs will be voting for all 145 members of the new Kuriltai, which is a unicameral parliament that was created because of a constitutional referendum that took place earlier this year.
And Kazakhstan, not really known for the freeness or fairness of its elections, which I suppose begs the question, why has there been this constitutional reform to change these representative bodies when they're not really that representative?
I think Kazakhstan and Central Asia broadly, governments in this region will have these constitutional referendums and sort of move the pieces around. Part of this in the Kazakh example is a regime consolidation. The current president, Kasym-Jomart Tokayev, came into power in 2019 after the previous president resigned. And after significant unrest in 2022, started to really sort of move some pieces, but the sort of autocratic underlay remains the same.
So who's participating in this election today, Catherine?
Yes. So I think it's worth pointing out that the current dominant party in the outgoing parliament, it's called Amanat, holds 62 seats out of the 98 in the outgoing lower house, decided to merge with an upstart party, Adalet, which was formed in the spring and attained official registration in the summer. And what this will do is it will deliver a headline of a new party taking power. All of the analysts I've spoken to expect Adalet to dominate the elections. But again, under the surface, the political atmosphere remains the same. And to put some context to that, Adalet is led by a guy named Aybek Dadabai, who became the head of that party 2 days after stepping down as head of the presidential administration. So he was effectively the chief of staff, resigned from that position, and 2 days later was put in charge of a new political party that went from creation in the spring to official registration in record time. And then the sitting dominant party announced that they would merge with this new upstart party. And so there's a very cosmetic change on the surface, but below that surface, the system is still very tightly constrained and controlled.
Yeah, so this sounds very much like a stage-managed change rather than a dramatic defection that affects the balance of power in Kazakhstan. Are there genuine opposition parties in Kazakhstan, and are they able to run in today's election, Catherine?
Not really. So none of the parties with official registration, I think, can be accurately described as opposition. All of the registered parties broadly endorse the presidential agenda. There's not much space for dissent within that existing system. And importantly, under the current rules, there are no independent candidates. So this election is by party list. It's a single nationwide constituency. And so if your party cannot get registration, it cannot contest the elections. And guess who gets to control who gets registration? Well, the government does. And so you have, I think there are seven parties that are contesting this election. Most of them have been around since Kazakhstan became independent, or certainly for a long time. And there just have not been any real opposition parties that have been registered. There are civic organizations. One is called Oyan Kazakhstan, which specifically has not tried to form a formal political party. And then there are opposition movements. One is called Alga Kazakhstan, which has tried repeatedly to get registered. It's been rejected, I think, 25 times. sort of with officials citing shortcomings in their documents, you know, not enough names, not enough signatures, something, some box not checked.
It
can be very
administrative.
Yes. And so, you know, so there have been some efforts, but there really is not space in the Kazakh political system for opposition per se.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with the managing editor of The Diplomat magazine, Catherine Putz, about the election of sorts that's taking place in Kazakhstan today. Given everything that you've said, Catherine, it doesn't sound like the average Kazakh voter would be particularly enthusiastic about this election. Is turnout voluntary? And what has, you know, what, if anything, has been the mood ahead of this sort of election?
So it is hard to gauge the mood. For example, you cannot really do public opinion polling very easily. Only organizations that have prior notification to the election authorities and a history of polling and permission can do polling. So we don't really have surveys to point to about how people are feeling about this election. It's worth noting that ahead of the constitutional referendum in March, there were a handful of journalists who were fined for doing things like social media polls. So one asked a question on X, previously known as Twitter, simply asking her followers whether they would take part in that referendum or not. Not whether they would vote yes or no, but whether they would take part. And she was fined for doing that, for violating the polling law. So we don't have a very good grasp via sort of the ways that we get you know, a handle on how people feel about specific elections through that. But, you know, I think Kazakhstan has had 35 years of this style of election. And so while voting is technically voluntary, there can be sort of social pressure in order to do so. Public employees, university students, the government will have very positive media campaigns, sort of urging people to participate. Votes like this are framed as historic and very important in sort of this new Kazakhstan that the president is building. But again, under the surface, nothing really is changing about that system. And I think Kazakhs know that. It will be interesting to see what that turnout is. If we look back to the previous parliamentary elections in 2023, which also came after a constitutional referendum, though not as extensive as this one. In that election, I think the nationwide turnout was 54%, which is pretty low. The turnout was as low as 25% in Kazakhstan's largest city, Almaty. And so that in some way is a signal,
right,
but it can be really hard
just
to interpret. You know, if your only option is to not show up, then that is a signal. But again, I think you can contrast that with, say, the referendum, which had a fairly high turnout. But that also took place at the same time as the Nowruz celebrations, which is sort of spring New Year celebrations across all of Central Asia. It was very heavily, again, advertised as this new opportunity, this change. And that was a simple yes-no question. So we don't really know why people voted yes or why people voted no when it comes to that referendum. And so similarly here, it will be hard to tell what the motivation for any particular voter is. I know just anecdotally talking to Kazakhs is the easiest way to access how they feel about it. And it's just sort of a sense of ennui, like the system is going to do what the system is going to do.
And we've only got about 30 seconds left, Catherine, but given the cosmetic nature of the constitutional changes, perhaps it won't take much more than that. What significance, if any, do you see in the new role of the vice president in the new constitutional system or this People's Council?
Very quickly, the new role of the vice president is effectively a designated successor. There are not really firm stipulations in the Constitution about what the vice president is going to do, but the vice president position is appointed by the president. So this is effectively a way for the president to pick the person who will take over if, say, they decide to step down and there's no election and you just have somebody new step in as acting president, has reins on all of the power. So it is, in my view, a tactic for a managed succession at some point, or at the very least is a way of ensuring that everybody is aware of who's next in line. It's sort of, it's a stability measure more than anything else.
All right, well, we will have to leave it there. It doesn't sound like we are hanging on a knife's edge to see what the result of this election is. But Catherine Putz, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra to discuss the state of affairs in Kazakhstan.
Thank you so much.
And Catherine is the managing editor of The Diplomat and also hosts The Diplomat's Asia Geopolitics podcast. And on Sunday Extra, it is 24 minutes to 8.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.